The Bible says in 2 Corinthians chapter 8, verse 13, "For I mean not that other men be eased and ye burdened." That's good to know. In the midst of these two great chapters on giving, and before you think it's just for the poor saints in Jerusalem, you need to really regard chapter 9, where he talks about in verse 13, their giving was a subjection to the gospel of Christ. It was not only a liberal distribution unto the saints that were serving and fellowshipping, but he says unto all men. So what they were giving was impacting believers, but it was also impacting people that did not know the Lord Jesus Christ and the gospel. And of course, as you understand, this text, as it starts in 2 Corinthians 8, begins with the example of the churches of Macedonia, which the chief city of Macedonia was Philippi, which was the only church that supported the Apostle Paul. And Corinth had the money, but Philippi had the heart. But he says 13, "For I mean not that other men be eased and ye burdened." And this is what I want to preach on if I can, or just teach a little while, or talk a little bit, or read a little bit and holler, as someone said. But by an equality. So tonight I'm going to preach on equal rights. It's right there, right? By an equality. That now at this time your abundance, let that sink in now. I look around, you know what I see? I see abundance. I go out in the parking lot, amen, and I see how poor you are. Right? Is that right? And that's not a guilt trip. Praise God. Thank you, Lord. He makes somebody rich. He makes somebody poor. The Lord's the maker of them all, right? That's not popular to say. Well, you're the ones that got in on the abundance part. The first part of the chapter were people that got in the poor part. And the Bible tells us in James, if you're the poor part, praise God. Rejoice. If you're the one that's exalted, praise God. If you're exalted, then you're made poor, praise God. Isn't it strange that everybody has a problem praising God wherever they are? You'd think people with abundance, they would just be going, "It's great to be alive." Some of the most joyful people I ever met in my life were on the top of a mountain in Papua New Guinea that took me about 3 days to get there. And they had, I don't even want to say nothing, it was worse than that. And they were just, and I had all these Americans with me, you know. Our nicknames were Greasy in their language. That's what Americans were. You're greasy. I think you could probably figure out why. And I'm looking at all the Americans, you know, and we had more stuff we packed in than they lived with. And they're the ones that are smiling, and you know. And we were supposed to bring them something. But by an equality, hush, Joe, I can't. I've not even read my text yet. Come on. But by an equality, that now at this time your abundance may be a supply for their want, that their abundance also may be a supply of your want. You know, there might be a day that you won't be able to do anything. Somebody else may have to be the chief one that leads the charge in getting the gospel around the world. And not Americans. I'd say we ought not miss out on our time. Again, the end of verse 14. That there may be what? Equality. As it is written, he that had gathered much had nothing over, and he that had gathered little had no lack. Father, help us with your word in these quiet moments, and help us to see this principle in the word of God so that our lives would equally be given to what you're interested in, and that's in the souls of men around this world. Well, thank you. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. Thank you. Be seated. You stood up long enough. You awake now? Equal rights. That there may be equality. That there may be equality. Oh, that's a word we hear a lot, isn't it? I want equal rights. We have things like in our country called the Equal Employment Opportunity Commission. Have I ever preached this here before? Okay, just checking. We have something in America called the Equal Rights Amendment. We have an office in the government called the Office of Fair Housing and Equal Opportunity. Everybody is pushing for equality. They want to be on the same level, which is also what communism and socialism pushes for. But you know what the truth is? The truth is we're not all on the same level. And just because someone strives for equality in all areas does not mean that's a characteristic of godliness or righteousness. Because, you know, some things, and that's not what this is about, but in some things, God does not choose for things to be equal. Now, man hates that because all man is concerned about is one thing. And that's why I want what's equal for me. I want equal rights. Well, you know, the good question is, well, what about God's rights? What about God's rights? I mean, he's the one that created us. He's the one that made us. If anybody should be concerned about anyone's rights, instead of having a humanistic philosophy or a man-centered philosophy, instead of worrying about our rights, we ought to worry about what God wants, what he deserves, what could bring him glory, what could please him, even if it's not fair or equal for me. Have you ever noticed that things in life aren't fair? Have you ever noticed that so many things aren't equal? And if, you know, if you've given into this society of this age, you're not, you know, just maybe you need to go to the bathroom, you know, and you can stay upstairs because I don't want to make you mad. But the truth is, things are not equal for you. You know, God usually does not even do things equal. He didn't even make the animals equal. Can you imagine the rabbit saying, you know, I don't think it's right, man. I don't have teeth like the wolf. God didn't give me, I mean, can a bunny rabbit defend itself very well? Well, that's not fair. I mean, he ought to have a fighting chance against the coyote, right? But he doesn't. And you know what? God made it that way. And there's the lion in the jungle going after, you know, the antelope and all that. And the antelope says, it's just not fair. You know, God did not create all nations equal. God gave to Israel advantages that he didn't give to anybody. He gave them his prophets. He gave them his oracles. He gave them his words. They were his chosen special people. And so the Egyptian says, that's not fair. Well, okay. It's the way it is. You know what? If you don't get over things not being equal for you, you may just get so mad at God, you may miss what God has for you. God didn't create men and women equal. Boy, we really need to take this off the internet tonight. You know, you have to go to school to be educated to that level of stupidity to think that a woman and a man are the same. They're not equal. God didn't make men and women equal. All you have to have is two eyeballs that understand biology. And you talk about hate speech. When God said a woman is the weaker vessel, then there is some lesbian that says, well, I'm going to prove that wrong. You know, go ahead and do whatever you want to do, but you're still not equal. That's why there's not 150,000 of you in the Marine Corps. But it's okay. You know, God didn't give everybody the same talents. Well, that's not fair. They can sing well. Right? God didn't give everybody the same talents and abilities. He has given people different talents, different abilities. And we're not the same. And if you go through your life upset about that, you're going to miss where God wants you. God made you the way he made you for a reason and for a purpose and for his glory. But if you keep bellyaching about the fact that you don't have or aren't what somebody else is, you know, God didn't make everybody the same. And by the way, when I said men and women are equal, I wasn't talking about mentally. Because we all know who's smarter. Amen, guys? You better tell your wife she's smarter. That'll help you out. No, there's some women that are smarter than men. There are some men that are smart. There are some people that are... I'll never forget. I was pastoring, and I had a... up in Virginia... And I had to, boy, this is really going spiritual. And I had a lady that was a chemistry teacher. And she came to church one day, and I thought, you know, maybe she had a family problem. I mean, she was just about ready to chew everybody's ears off. And I said, what's wrong? She says, it's my class, one after the other. And they just couldn't understand anything. I took hours and hours and hours and went through it. And they couldn't get it. And she said, I finally looked at them, and they're all upset at me because I can't teach. And she said, I finally looked at them, and she said, I cannot help that you were born on the low end of the gene pool. And she got in trouble for that. Well, you know, you laugh at that. But, you know, there's a lot of truth to that. Everybody is not as smart as everybody else. Now, I know all of us can learn, right? But some of us are not going to get to the level of intellectualness as others. Well, that's just not fair. Well, deal with it. Get over it. Do what you can do. Go color pictures for somebody. I mean... that's why we have kindergarten teachers... who are the smartest and the brightest to be able to bring all of that knowledge down to the low level. I never forget Brother Hank. We started Christian school. And I said, Brother Hank, we got these, I don't have any teachers. He said, well, they're in the church. I said, no, they've never been to school. He said, they never went to school. And I said, well, they went to school. But, you know, they never went to college and learned how to teach school. He said, how smart, look, he said, if a lady's going to teach third grade, she needs to be able to know the material. Now, I'm getting somewhere. Maybe I need to do like Brother Paul and get going. But I'm trying to get somewhere. Everyone is not the same. We don't have the same benefits. We don't have the same blessings. We don't have the same talents. We don't have the same abilities. We don't have the same physical characteristic. I mean, here's a beanpole of a guy. He can't help that. And then here's this 7 foot tall. You know what that is? That's not equal. Right? God didn't make everybody beautiful. Why are you looking at them? You know, look here. People get so frustrated in life because of where God has put them. God has put you where you are, and He wants to take the tools of your life and use it in a way that only He can use your life. You don't have to be anybody else. You need to be the best you that you can be. You know, God doesn't give everybody the same material or spiritual blessings. He doesn't give everybody the same opportunities in life. He gives better circumstances to some people. He even, and sometimes it looks like it's not fair. Matthew 20, you know, and the word equals even using that text, and all these people work, and here's one group that works an hour, and this another group works all day, and the Lord gives them the same thing. You want something equal? How about that? That's not a blessing for the guy that worked all day. You know what he's going to say? It's not fair. You know, God doesn't even give the same commands to everybody. Now, some are the same. All men are commanded to repent. All of us that are saved are commanded to reach the world with the gospel. But have you ever studied the Bible about what God told some people to do that He didn't tell you to do? You know, how about if you were in Isaiah's shoes and God told you to go walk naked and barefoot for 3.5 years? Think that'd be hard? Or how about Hosea? God tell you, guys, you want to get married? What if God comes to you and tells you to marry a harlot? That's pretty stiff. God didn't tell all of us to do the same thing. Matter of fact, there are some things that may be fine for you, for one person, that God doesn't want you to do. And you may get mad at that because you want it to be equal. God told Ezekiel, couldn't cry when his wife died. God told Ezekiel to lay on his side for 390 days. You better thank God for the Great Commission. And while he was there to bake bread with dung, matter of fact, have you ever read all those scriptures where God commanded them to go into a town or a village or a city and kill everything that breathed? How would you like God to command you to go kill babies? You say, well, that's not in the Bible. Well, it is in the Bible. And I'm not going to defend God on it because that would take a while, but He's always right. And somebody says, well, that's not fair, that's not equal. No, God says the way of the Lord is equal, it's your way that's not equal. But imagine trying to fulfill that commandment. Imagine being an Old Testament Jew that had to go around and kill people. Now, some of you may like that job. But you look at me. You know what? That'd probably be hard to live with. Do you understand what I'm saying? Now here's, listen here. What God has done for us, He's given us a list of commands in the Bible to do. And instead of ignoring them or think they're unreasonable, we ought to just be thankful that He's given us the commands He's given us and not commandments He's given someone else. Ours are pretty reasonable. God doesn't give equally men the same opportunity to hear the gospel. That doesn't seem very fair that somebody does not hear the gospel once when so many have heard it a million times. And that disturbs us, doesn't it? But see, God does give everybody a chance. The Bible says the grace of God that bringeth salvation hath appeared to all men. He does give every man an opportunity, but He doesn't give every man the same opportunity. Everybody doesn't have a church down the street on the corner or a Bible that's right in front of them or a radio station they can turn on and hear a preacher. Everybody doesn't have that. Everybody has an opportunity, but not the same opportunity. You say, well, man, I want to do something about that. Well, then that monkey's on our back. It's not on God's. If we are disturbed about the fact that other men don't have the same opportunities that we have, then we need to do something about it as far as the sake of the gospel is concerned. You understand? And I tell you what, we have more opportunities because our forefathers capitalized on the opportunity that God gave them. And some nations didn't. I never forget, a Romanian came to me one time and he said, he was mad because of all the things I had and he did not have. And I rolled that thing over my mind long enough to where one day he came back and finally I had an answer. And I looked at him and I said, you know why I have all this stuff and you don't have anything? He said, why? I said, because your dad was a drunk. And your granddad was a drunk. And then let me tell you what my family tree looks like. That doesn't make me better than you. That just means that my father and my grandfather and my great-grandfather and my great-great-grandfather were given an opportunity and they took it from God and did something with it. And you're wanting to be on the same equal level when I have five generations of people that did right by the opportunity God gave, and then I get to get in on the blessing. And you have all these generations that didn't care about the opportunity God gave to them. And it doesn't look equal. But you know what? It's not just God that's not equal. We're not very equal. If we were equal, if we were really equal, we wouldn't just send missionaries to the mission field. You know what we'd really do? We would do what the Moravians did. We would send whole congregations. If you really want to be equal, if you want to be fair, we'd get together as the brethren in Texas and say, you know, how many independent Baptist churches do we have in Texas? Why don't we take one of those congregations and look at the next nation that has none? Not just a missionary. Let's be fair. Let's put a whole congregation there. You want to be fair? And somebody says, yeah, I vote for the people over in San Marcos. Right? I'm perturbed with parents that think they have to be fair with their kids all the time. Your kids are very different. They need different things. Sometimes things need to be unfair with them because life sure is going to be. We're not very fair. But God is fair in that He views all men as sinners. God is equal in that. He's equal in the fact that He reaches out to all men with the same gift of His loving salvation. He is equal and fair to all men that He's going to judge all men by that man whom He hath ordained and that He raised him from the dead. He will be fair across the lines of judgment and salvation. He will be fair with that. But Paul looks a little bit deeper and he comes to us and he says, you know, with what I'm preaching, with all these things that God seemingly is not fair about, he calls for equality in one area. And since we complain so much about things not being equal, then I'm sure we will be so excited to get in on the thing that God says we can all be equal on. Right? You'd think that people that would complain about not being as pretty as so-and-so, and not being as talented as so-and-so, and not having the things that so-and-so has, or the mental acumen, or the strength, or the opportunity, would say, wow, there's an area we can all be equal. I'm in. But Corinth wasn't in. And Paul uses what I would call some reverse psychology on them. Verse 13, look at it. This is so... I almost would say sarcastic, but it's too smart to be that. Verse 13, for I mean not that other men be eased and ye burdened. You know who was burdened about this matter of giving? It was the churches of Macedonia who, out of their deep poverty and to their power and beyond their power, they abounded under the riches of their liberality, and they first gave their own selves to the Lord, and they were in deep poverty, and they just gave it all. And then he comes to the church at Corinth and he says, I don't want you to be too burdened and other people eased. Who would be the biggest guy in here? It'd be like me bringing Nate Johnson up here. He's about 7 foot tall. At least he looks that way to me, man. Got a 24-foot shoe or whatever he's got, you know. And bring Miss Mona up here. Now, come here just a minute. And me put a big 50. No, I didn't mean you come here. I just, had half the congregation go. I get Miss Mona, I put her here, and I put a 50-pound sack of potatoes on her shoulders. Now, I don't know. I know she's a tough lady. I mean, maybe, but to put a 50-pound sack of potatoes on a widow, and then bring Nate Johnson up here and give him two potatoes. And then look at Nate with his one potato, two potato, and say, Nate, I really don't want you to be burdened. And other people eased. And you know what's true about the illustration I just gave you? If I was a betting man, and I'm not, I bet that dear, sweet widow lady over there that we all love gives a whole lot more to missions than some of you. And I love you, and y'all do great. But you know what would happen if it was all equal? Now, I'm not talking about equal amounts. I'm talking about equal burden. I never forget, Brother Hank told me years ago, and it's the same way, Pastor Adam, he's confirmed it to me before. He said, you know, the biggest givers to missions in this church are the missionaries. Now, if anybody ever wanted an excuse, it's that missionary that wants to put that money on the field. But see, their heart's in the right place. So they're going to give more than anybody. They're going to bear the burden. Brother Dunn's church, they really bear the burden. You know, you would think that a young adult that doesn't have to pay for kids and family and could bear a little more burden than a widow lady. Boy, it's getting quiet. Now here's what I'm trying to get at. And I'm not just talking about our church here. I'm talking about all the churches, all of God's people. If there was really any equality, there would never be a need for anything. If everybody came to the level of burden as the churches of Macedonia. If everybody in this church gave the same faith promise that you give, how many missionaries would they have to drop? Now, I think that's an honest question. You say, well, preacher, I'm doing my best. Well, praise God. That's all you can do. What if everybody lived for God like you live for God? What if everybody, as we heard, prayed like we prayed? Is there an equality where all of God's people give our lives to the same level of devotion? Is there an equality where God's people love the Lord Jesus Christ with the same level of depth of heart? Is there an equality where we give our lives, ourselves, our fortunes, our heart, our minds? Is it to the same equality? You say, well, I'm not like, no, but you can give the same heart. You can give the same love. You can give the same what you have. You can take as big a sack as you can take. Instead of expecting someone else to carry your water for you. Look at verse 15. You say, Richard, what's my part in this? To do your very best, to get that, and it's not, again, it's not about your faith promise card, but that's a good start. And Paul says, you know, Corinthians, I just want there to be equality, and I'm not trying to overburden you. God's not trying to put more burden on the back of the churches of Macedonia. He's not trying to put more burden on the widow. He's not trying to put more burden like in this church as a 12-year-old kid that's given $25 a week that doesn't have a job. He's not trying to put more burden on a church that's pulling all they can pull. But he's trying to reach those people there that name the name of Christ to equally have as much invested as all the rest. And so he gives this verse illustration. I'm finished. 15. And I tell you what, with your other hand, get it Exodus 16. Because this is the quote. And I want you to see the context. By inequality, what should I give, preacher? You ought to bear as much burden as you can bear. And when it's too much, God's not wanting to put more on you. Isn't that in the Bible too? He's not going to put on you more than you can bear. But he does expect you to bear your own burden. I'm telling you, church, you know, the person that gives the most and sacrifices the most in my church where I am right now is nowhere near the one that has the most means. And if there could just be some sense of equality, oh, we want equal rights, we'll take it. Take an equal share of the burden. Second Corinthians 8:15. As it is written, he that had gathered much had nothing over, and he that had gathered little had no lack. You know what that's talking about? It's talking about the manna. Look at Exodus 16. I'm trying to finish. Exodus 16. He says, verse 18. And when they did meet it with an omer, he that gathered much had nothing over, and he that gathered little had no lack. They gathered every man according to his what? You know, I bet all those guys didn't eat the same. Here's a guy with family. He's got a lot of mouths to feed. You know what he does? He gathers a whole bunch. I mean, you know, Joe and I, we're going to gather a little more. I tell you what, I say that though. I mean, some of these skinny people eat. I mean, they eat, son. Right? But here's what God said. Go out there and get all the manna you can eat. Just get all you need, all your household needs. Gather as much as you're going to use. And everybody will have enough. Everybody will have enough. I'll make sure you all have enough. But he said, I tell you what you better not do. He said, I'll tell you what you better not do. You better not take more than you need and go stick it up in your cupboard, because it's going to start stinking. And it's going to breed worms. And God uses that as an example about our giving and the giving a year in advance. And he's telling the Corinthians, hey, you go out there, look, whatever God's given you as you've received the manna, that's how you need to give. But do you really need all the stuff you're socking away in your cupboard? And some people, the more they sock away in the cupboard, the more worms are coming out of the house. He's saying, no hoarding. Take what you need and leave the rest for somebody else that's hungry. Whew. And the principle of giving in our lives is this. God says, okay, however much you need, but don't you forget, there's a world out there that's hungry. And whatever you gather to feed yourself, that's fine. But don't be so self-centered, because God wants an equal proportion. Okay, Lord, I'll take what I need and the rest. That's pretty rough. You know what the churches in Macedonia were doing? They weren't even gathering what they needed, because they were so burdened about the people that didn't have anything. By an equality. If 100% of us, this is where it hits the road, guys. If 100% of us would give 100%, we would reach the world so fast. But God's people, they're not interested in equality. They're interested in me first. Let's bow our heads in prayer. Father,